Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light. We're your hosts. I'm Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jeanelle Fury. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning, everyone. Today's guest is Diane Campbell, the award-winning author of Point Blank, a contemporary mystery suspense novel set in her beloved Colorado Rockies. Diane loves adventurous stories and mysteries, especially those that include unexpected plot twists and lovably quirky characters. She's also a lover of all things outdoors. So if she's not at her desk, you'll likely find her under a shade tree or out on a backcountry trail soaking in some fresh inspiration. Diane is a member of the American Christian Fiction Writers Colorado Springs chapter. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Diane, this is Patty, and I also want to welcome you to the show. It's a pure delight to have you here with us this morning. And I'll go ahead and start us right off. Would you share with us a bit about your background? When did you know you wanted to be a writer? When did you start writing? And also, I kind of like to ask guests a little bit about their Christian walk. Did you grow up in a Christian home, or did your Christian faith come to you later on in life?
Wow, well, that's a lot to cover, but... You know, I didn't figure out right away as a kid that I wanted to be a writer. I came from a musical family. We were religious in that we attended church all the time, but we did not have an understanding of what faith really was. So we were church attenders, but we were a musical family, and so that was my focus when I was growing up. But I did love stories. I always did. I loved reading stories. I started reading early, and I especially liked the ones that took me away to far away, mysterious places, or on some kind of a fantastical adventure. Those were my favorites. I have a memory of trying my hand at being a storyteller when I was a kid. I got several of my cousins to get into the bedroom closet, and we crammed ourselves in there underneath the hanging clothes, and I tried my hand at spinning some kind of a spooky tale in the dark. But, you know, the idea of being a writer just didn't occur to me until I was grown up and married. My husband and I met shortly after we had become believers, and so we were really enthusiastic about sharing our faith. We had a Christian coffee house for a while, and because we could not have children, we got involved in foster parenting pretty early on, and and we did that during the whole decade of the 80s. We even adopted one of our foster kids, and I was a worship leader because I was involved in music. We hosted home fellowships. We were involved in a lot of stuff. And in the midst of all of that, I'm not even sure exactly how I found out, but I learned that there was something called the Christian Writers Institute. And that still exists today. It's online and offers all kinds of classes. Back then, of course, in the 80s, it was a correspondence class that you could take through Wheaton College in Illinois. And I would type up my assignments and send them in and get them back through the mail. So that's where I started learning to be a writer. And I started writing inspirational articles and true life stories. And I would send them out to these Christian magazines. And that's where it all kind of started for me. But wow. I just always loved storytelling, you know. It's a great way to demonstrate concepts about faith and God with people. So.
Yes, most definitely. And you really resonated with me, Diane, when you mentioned the musical family. Because I grew up in a home where my dad had he played music strictly by ear, played piano strictly by ear. Like he would look at piano music, and to him, he said it was like a bunch of fly specks on the paper. He just has made no sense out of that whatsoever. But he used to play all kinds of big bands music mostly, but once in a while he would play some beautiful hymns. He was raised in a very strict religious and the sad thing was that kind of turned him away from it, you know, for many years. Once he got out, it was like, I'm done with this. But anyway, the point is that the music really resonated with me because, there was a lot of music in our home when I was a kid. So, but yeah, that's very interesting. And I also took courses through that Institute of Writing. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was some writing institute because sadly I still have some of my assignments tucked away in a drawer somewhere.
It may have been the very same one. I don't know.
I can't remember what it was called. It was Writer Something Institute. I can't even remember now, but I bet you if I were to dig around in that back room, I'd find it.
Oh, I had big binders of stuff for a long time. And so that's how I remembered what the name was. But yes, it's evolved over the years and still exists. So, yeah.
That's pretty impressive and a credit to the institution for surviving and adjusting and still being, you know, viable and valuable as an educational program.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
You know, I kind of wondered if you'd like to be interested in exploring a little bit about your foster care and what that was like for you. And is it something that you found to be a rewarding experience in your life?
Well, it's a long time ago, and I'm not sure that foster care is quite the same today as it was back then.
Well, that could very well be, yeah. I was just surprised. I learned some things about you that I didn't know. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, me too.
We did foster care for almost 10 years. We were nominated for Foster Home of the Year in Colorado 1 year. We had 13 children, not all at once.
Holy cow. Wow.
But over those 10 years, we had as many as three at a time, and adopted one of them, was in the process of adopting another. And that adoption did not go through. That was a really traumatic event for me when you have a child that you think you're going to be adopting and they're living with you and you're going through the process and then mom changes her mind. That's a tough one.
So, Diane, I know you've had a number of pieces published, but this, if I'm not mistaken, is your first novel. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. And the title
Thank
is
you.
Point Blank. How long did you work on this manuscript, and how did you decide now was the right time to release it?
Well, you know, Point Blank is the first one published, but it's not the first novel that I started working on. When I finally decided that it was time to pursue the full-length fiction, I had been fiddling around in my head with a very big, convoluted, epic story idea that had lots of characters and was futuristic, da-da-da-da-da. And I hadn't anything on paper yet, but this idea was in my head that I wanted to develop. So I started to get connected with other writers and started to learn what it would take to actually get it formulated. It was all very fascinating to learn, but I began to feel like maybe the big story that I'd envisioned was getting farther and farther away from my grasp rather than getting a hold of it. I began to think that I was biting off more than I could chew for a first novel. So a few months after we moved to Colorado Springs, I ran across a folder in the bottom of one of the boxes I was packing. And it had all these various notes and ideas and little snippets of things that I had jotted down all the way back in the 80s. It was old, old, old stuff. But among all these little bits and pieces were several pages stapled together and typewritten, and the pages were yellowed, and it was the first chapter of a story about a young woman who finds herself outdoors alone on a cold winter night waiting for a bus that never arrives. And when she finally gives up on the bus and goes looking for refuge for the night, she ends up at a house with a little old lady who greets her expectantly and behaves as if she already knows the girl. And I read that chapter, and I was so intrigued by the girl's predicament, I had to figure out what happened to her. So I set aside the big, epic, multi-book series that had been percolating in my head for so long, and I focused on developing Point Blank. And that's how it started.
And why would you say, is it a matter of it now being a good time to release it because now it's ready? Or is there something in the world that is calling for this book right now?
Well, that's interesting. You did ask about the right time to release it. I guess it took a process for me to be ready to release it, I think, more than the story. Because I finished the story in 2016 and submitted it to ACFW to get some feedback. I entered it in a contest and did really well in the contest. I actually won in 2017 the Genesis contest with Point Blank in the suspense category. I was really thrilled about that. But I wasn't finding a home for it. I wasn't finding what I was supposed to do with it at that point. And I think it was a process of me getting ready to be able to release it.
Okay.
Diane, first of all, I want to say congratulations on the release of Point Blank. Also, congratulations on your Genesis win. I know that's a big deal because I have also entered Genesis a time or two, so I know how exciting that is to be the winner. I've been a finalist a couple of times in a couple of their contests, but never quite made it to that winner's circle yet. So I know how exciting that is, and congratulations.
It is.
I am one of the readers who is fortunate to have read Point Blank. When I found out that it was coming out, I went ahead and ordered it on my Kindle, and I read it in 3 nights. If it had not been for the fact that my eyes were burning the second night and I couldn't stay awake simply because it was late, I would have finished it in 2. So very much enjoyed this story.
How exciting.
Diane, and would you share with our listeners... You told us a little bit about the first chapter, but in general, if somebody were to ask you, what is your story about, without telling us the whole thing, of course, we want readers to be intrigued enough to want to read it, but don't tell us the whole story. So what would you say?
Well, in a nutshell, they teach us this, to be able to tell our story concept in a nutshell.
Yeah.
The main character, Penny, is a college student who suffers memory loss after attending a New Year's party. And then she discovers that she's being accused of having a role in the disappearance of another of the partiers. So that's the story in a nutshell. But at its core, I think, Point Blank is really a father-daughter reconciliation story. And it shows how Faith, after it's been challenged by overwhelming circumstances, can still be renewed, even if that has to happen through the experience of more challenging life events. It shows us that there aren't any experiences in our life that are wasted, but that God uses everything to complete his purposes. The story also includes elements of divine intervention, which I think a lot of people experience at some time or other, but that perhaps they may find difficult to be able to share with others. They aren't often shared. But divine intervention is I don't know. I hear from people all the time who tell me about their own experiences where they feel
sure.
that God just kind of stepped in and did something extraordinary for them. And that's very personally moving and impactful for them.
Absolutely. I agree with that, Diane. And I would like to say, as a reader, that I thought you did bring out the father-daughter relationship very well. Because without saying too much, when Penny does get into some real trouble and her father realizes mm-hmm. just how important that relationship is, despite the fact that there had been some tension and strain between them. So yeah, I thought you did a very good job with that. And of course, I love the divine intervention part. I didn't know if you wanted to bring that up or not, but I especially enjoyed Mrs. Wilton. I just loved her.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I'm glad.
Sweetest lady.
She is a great
and
character.
And I'd love to add, I'd love to add that as a reader as well, I think you had so many different storylines kind of weaving in and out as you described, but what I loved most about it was that it snuck up on me. I was just turning the pages because the reading was so exciting, and then I got to a point, I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here. And that made me just want to read more, but it really snuck up on me. It was, so well done, Diane.
Yes, Jean, I didn't realize that you had had an opportunity to read the book as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful. Glad you both had a chance to read it, and glad that you enjoyed it.
Yes, it was
very
much.
Very much.
Yes. And Diane, by the way, I will be putting up a review on it here soon.
Oh,
I haven't gotten that yet, but I definitely will be doing so. So.
Love it. Thank you. That's always helpful, you know.
Definitely, I know.
Always. So, Diane, was there a time in your life that you experienced darkness? And I'm saying that in quotes. Would you share this dark or difficult time in your life and how you found your way back to light?
Sure. I'm happy to. I actually drew upon personal experience when I was writing Penny's story, because her type of memory loss, which is known as repressed memories, is a type of partial or selective amnesia that's usually related to some kind of traumatic event. I don't want to approach the issue implying that I'm some kind of expert, because I'm not. I don't know that much about memory issues or even repressed memory specifically. I'm not studied, and I'm certainly not a psychologist. But what I've come to understand over the years is that the mind is capable of making some really remarkable kinds of adaptations as a way of protecting itself when a person's emotional psyche is traumatized or threatened in some way. And that is something that I had experienced myself as a child. And, I didn't see myself as a person who was in any kind of darkness at the time when my hidden memories came back to me. I was already in my mid-30s. I'd been a foster mom, as I said, for about a decade. I'd been helping traumatized kids cope with the stresses of their own abuses and or separations from parents and families. I'd been involved in ministry. I was a worship leader. All that stuff was going on, and I was trying to develop my writing career. And so somewhere around 1989 or 90, and I can't say for sure which year it was, but somewhere in there, I had registered to attend Writers Conference that meets in Estes Park. And the keynote speaker that year was a Christian psychologist who had written a book about repressed memories and about his approach to healing those kinds of issues in a Christian context. And while he's giving his talk and he's sharing these stories about people in various types of distress, people who'd come to him for counsel or whatever, one of them just kind of struck home for me, and I suddenly realized that I was one of those people. That I had tucked away painful memory in order to keep it from being part of my life and who I was as a kid, and hadn't thought about it. And as soon as the memory was there, I knew that I'd always had the memory, that it wasn't like, oh my goodness, was that real and did it really happen? I mean, I just knew that I had always known.
Wow.
It was like this guy was talking directly to me in that room, and I started crying and shaking. I went out in the hallway. I came back. I was kind of a basket case for a while there, and
sure.
During his speech. And at the end, he offered a free book to anybody who needed healing from painful memories, and I knew that I had to go forward and get a copy. But what amazed me was how many other people also came forward that day. There were a lot of people. He had boxes of books, and people kept coming down the aisle. But after the conference
wow.
was over, I read the book. I sought out counseling. I went to my pastor first. He recommended Christian counselors, and they walked me through this process of dealing with these old hurts. And healing, of course, happened over time. It's not an overnight kind of a thing. But coming to look back to light, as you guys have put it, was really just a process of me allowing Jesus to be part of this hurtful memory that I had squirreled away, so that instead
right.
of hiding it, never to think about it again, Jesus wanted me to know that he was present even then. And he was in charge of everything that had ever happened to me. And I didn't need to keep anything hidden away. So I guess
wow.
that's what's in this story, too, I hope, is that all the parts of our life, those before we know him, and all of the parts that we feel were out of our control, were always in his control, and he was always there.
And always in his time, Diane, I think of the timing of this, you having attended a conference and this person being a speaker and all the things, right, that would
yeah.
put you in
yeah.
that place at that time to hear that message and be able to receive a book. That's just an amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah. That is God's timing for me to receive the healing then, or at least start
yeah.
the process.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing
and,
that.
Sure. Well, there are people out there who need that, who need to know. It's available.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine how startling that had to be when you say you got up and walked out and walked back in. What do you do with that when all of a sudden
oh,
that
I went
you?
In and out of that room a couple or three times. The guy must have mm-hmm. thought something was wrong with me because I stood in the back after a while because I didn't want to keep going back to my seat, but
sure.
I'd go out into the hall and I'd just blubber and cry, and then I'd come back when I felt I had it back together, and yeah, it was profound.
And Diane, that also clarifies for me how you were so adequately, is the word, able to describe what Penny was going through in the book,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you were able to draw on
mm-hmm.
that personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
right.
So that was
even though
very
I was
well
writing,
understandably so.
I mean, I'm writing a very fictional story
sure.
that's nothing like what I experienced, but
right.
I mean, it's not the same kind of experience, but it's still a trauma. It's still something squirreled away. It's still something you have to try and get a grasp of again. Yeah.
Right. We know that this is in no way even probably remotely relates to what you experienced, but I know when I went and had my foot surgery, there's just mm-hmm. that weird feeling of one minute I'm talking to the nurse and the next minute they're telling me you can go home. I mean, I realized that was drug induced, but
mm-hmm.
you'd think I would
mm-hmm.
have remembered being wheeled down to the operating suite or something. It's like
mm-hmm.
that memory is just completely gone, and it is a freaky, weird feeling. And it must be even worse when you know it wasn't drug induced. It's just
mm-hmm.
not there. So I still can't. When I think back to that, I still can't get over that. It's just the strangest feeling that part of your of time that existed in your life just isn't there anymore.
There are strange things that have. I mean, there are people with PTSD who are dealing with things that aren't necessarily memory squirreled away, but they're trying to, from what I understand, try to keep control over traumas that they've experienced, but they can't always, you know.
Definitely.
And they're reliving stuff at times, and so the mind is really an extraordinary thing, and our ability to, from what I understand at least, our ability to squirrel things away and just decide that we just won't cope with that. We'll tuck it aside and we'll live apart from it, you know, to maintain our sanity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, ladies, let's go to a short break. I'd just like to remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with hosts Patty Sheen and Jean Alfieri. Our guest today is Diane Campbell. Diane is an award-winning author. She just recently released her first novel entitled Point Blank. And we have been talking with Diane about her book, about the formation of the story, basically. It's a story that she kind of resurrected from many years ago. And we've been talking about writing in general. And we've also, Diane has also been sharing some personal experience with us. If you would like to listen to the show again or hopefully refer it to friends or family, please go to PattySheen.com. That's PattySheen.com. That is where you will find a listing of all our shows. At the very top of the page is the Blog Talk Radio tab, and under each show is a More Information tab. That's where you will find Diane's website. We'll also have Diane's social media links under there, too. So we encourage you to learn a little bit more about Diane there and check it out. So let's get back to our interview. Is mystery suspense thrillers your main genre? And if so, why do you like to write these particular types of stories?
You know, I don't know what my main genre is, but I definitely do like suspenseful stories. And I tend to think that writers do write the kinds of stories that they love to read. So mysteries and suspenseful storylines are among my favorite, especially if they've got unexpected plot twists, you know, things that you didn't see coming. They aren't the only genre that interests me. I also love stories that make me think or that make me look at things in a new and different kind of way than what I've seen them before. The epic series that I was telling you about earlier that I started working on years ago is a futuristic story with a fantasy element. So that's completely different from suspense, but I hope that it also provides interesting surprises for readers, as well as will make them think. And so that's one that I still hope to complete at some point down the road here. One I'm working on.
Very good. Well, it always kind of, and I realize that there is a reason for what they call the branding. No, I'm a suspense writer, or I'm a Western writer, or I'm a romance writer. And yet, on the other hand, that always kind of bothered me because I feel that like anybody else, authors have many facets to their personality. So what if they want to write a romance this year and maybe they want to write a mystery thriller next year, and I know that's frowned upon, but it's kind of like, have you ever seen an actor that's in two or three different types of movies and you don't think any less of them? So
I think it may be more to do with things like the themes that you incorporate into your stories more than genre, because you can use different genres to show the theme that you want, or that the theme that is the message that runs through all of your books. And connecting that to actors, we kind of see actors in certain ways. They play certain kinds of characters, no matter what sort of movie that they're in. because we associate them with a certain kind of thing. John Wayne always did John Wayne type stories. Or, you know, and I think that writing is much like that too. I mean, we have, for me, I guess the theme would be that God is always with us, and he's always close to us, and always ready to be our advocate and that kind of thing. And that could show up in whatever genre I might write.
I liked what Beth talked about in our last meeting, where she talked about the story question. You know, I don't know if you were there, Diane, but, you know, a question like, is family always worth fighting for? I think was one that she used. And,
right.
I mean, you could put that into a whole bunch of different genres. So, anyway,
absolutely.
I just thought I'd throw out my little thought there that I don't know that if I ever got something published that it would be like, okay, you always have to write this. So, I don't know.
Well, and it's interesting, too, when we look at, you know, when we talk about branding, right? So it makes sense that we want to be known for something so that it's identifiable. And yet, to your point, Patty, you know, if you look at it from an actor's point of view, nobody wants to be typecast. And yet, isn't it always a coup when James Bond changes? Gasp, right? We love that James Bond. We don't want a new James Bond and all that.
Right.
So it really is, you know, it's kind of contradictory, but very interesting.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
So, Diane, I think you've kind of spoken to this already. When we talk about mystery and suspense, it seems that writers are also avid readers. So you would probably read similar novels to this because it's what you enjoy. What else do you like to read? Is there anything in the nonfiction realm that you enjoy? What's on your bedside table?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious. I can't tell you really for sure that I read devotionals, and I read the scripture, and I read, you know, my mom has been putting me in touch with some books on heaven that have been very interesting. I do read some nonfiction. I like the times when I can read fiction, though, are usually like on vacations and times when I take breaks, because I like to be able to sit down and actually just really soak in a story and immerse myself in a story. And that's hard to do on a day-to-day basis when
sure.
you don't have
sure.
a block of time. And probably nonfiction is more conducive to that, taking it a chapter or so at a time.
Right.
Or smaller
Very
things
good.
Like devotions. Yeah.
I'm like you.
Books out there.
I love to read fiction, but actually I've gotten more into nonfiction than I ever have been before in my life. And I think part of it is for the podcast here, for the show. You know, people have been referred to us that have a book out or whatever, and oh, I've got to read this book. And some of them have
right.
been nonfiction. So that's kind of neat to actually get other people's perspective on beliefs and faith and what they have learned from their studies and that kind of thing. So I think the nonfiction has really helped me grow quite a bit, as much as, like I say, I love a good fiction story too. And there's fiction stories that definitely help me grow. But I'm surprised to say that I'm leaning more toward nonfiction these days. So your book was kind of a nice breath of fresh air, Diane, to be able to sit down and read a story, you know?
And you kept her up almost all night, because when I inquired about whether she'd finished, she's like, I have to finish it today. I tried to finish it yesterday. Very, very involved with that book.
What can readers learn about God and perhaps about themselves from your novel, from Point Blank, Diane?
You know, I hope that they'll discover just how close God is, how available he has made himself to us. And I'm not talking about, you know, some kind of emotional feelings about his nearness, but really about being able to walk through all of life's complicated and messy parts, and having the confidence that he is right beside us through it all, and that he cares enough about us that he's just not going to leave us to flounder. Because I think a lot of people feel like they don't have him near them, and he is. He's always available to us. He never leaves us. This is what I have learned in my life. And
I love how you put that,
convey.
Diane. Yeah, I love that, just that term, he's available. You don't often hear it put that way, and yet it's for the invitation, right, for him to be involved. He's there, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right
the
there.
Vision I get when I hear you say that. It is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. It is important, because especially in trying times, we're involved in COVID and isolation and having everything up-dumped about our lives. But he has always known that this day was coming. It was always a part of his plan to be with us through it. So we're just not alone. We aren't.
Right.
I think one of the takeaways for me, Diane, when I read the book was that God always knows. He knows long before we do. Nothing surprises him. And
mm-hmm.
everything,
mm-hmm.
whether it seem good or bad to us, plays
mm-hmm.
into his master plan. And I very strongly got that message from
yeah.
the book, and also the fact that reconciliation is always within our grasp with people
mm-hmm.
that we may have had issues with, whether it be close family, close friends, or whatever. So those are just kind of
yeah.
some thoughts that I thought I would put out there.
Yeah.
What's your next writing project, Diane? Do you have a novel that you're currently working on?
I have been working on the big epic story again, the futuristic fantasy. But ever since Point Blank's publication, I've also had some people asking about what might be next for Penny and her dad, whether there might be a sequel. And I have had some ideas about that, but I haven't really pursued them yet. It's just interesting that I have people asking. So I guess anything's possible, but at the moment I have been working on the epic story again, and we'll just kind of see where that goes, because it's a multi-book series, I'm a long ways from being able to be ready to talk very much about it. So
what about your website, Diane? What can people find there when they go and look for you? What kind of things do you have available for them on your website?
Well, the website really is kind of an introduction to me and to the book. I do have a newsletter that I'm starting and to keep readers apprised of what's happening, what I'm working on, and what's coming up. And right now, for those who sign up for the newsletter, there's an opportunity to get a prequel to Point Blank, which is a short story written about events that happened prior to the events of Point Blank. And that's available as a free thank you for those who sign up for the newsletter. So anyone who might be interested in getting more information from me can go to my website and find that link to the newsletter and sign up. That'd be great.
Very good. I'm going to do
Very
it.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I want that prequel for one thing.
Right.
I want to read that and see what happened beforehand.
Terrific. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, Diane, Jean, and I both want to thank you so much for spending time with us today. We enjoyed learning more about you.
Yeah, I've got triumphs and I've got tragedies. And isn't that the story with everybody? We all have triumphs and tragedies.
True.
That's just how life is. And we get through it because the Lord is with us and beside us every day.
Absolutely. Again, Diane, thank you ever so much for sharing with us, and we wish you much success with Point Blank and all of your future writing endeavors.
Thank you so much. It was a delight to be able to be here with you today, and I'm just so tickled to be able to call you, both of you ladies, friends, and to be able to share this time today. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. It was fantastic.
Folks, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they are not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Don't forget to go visit pattysheene.com. That's PattySheene.com, where you can, again, listen to Diane's interview here this morning or refer it to friends and family. Go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and you can find the link to all of our shows. And under the More Information tabs, you'll find links to social media and websites for all of our guests. God bless you. I'd like to remind everybody that we are in the season of Lent, so may the Lord bless you as you seek Him during this very special time of the liturgical calendar year.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a